From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Kara Thomas.
I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
And I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we're following this week. The Cook County Schools ISD 166 School Board needs to make program reductions of $440,000 in school year 2010 and 11 to balance their budget. To do this, they're reducing a number of staff hours, eliminating some teaching positions, cutting paraprofessionals, extracurricular activities, and office staff. The result accomplishes 64% of a two-year reductions goal, totaling $682,500. Teachers being cut are Ann Russ, Julie Brandt, and Mike McHugh. Superintendent Beth Schwartz originally included elementary teacher Lorelei Livingston in the list of teachers losing their jobs, but Schwartz is now saying that was a mistake. According to the superintendent, there is a less senior teacher than Livingston, which will allow Livingston to remain on staff. Schwartz says she regrets the error and is not yet ready to say who will be impacted by the cut. In cases of staff reductions or eliminations, Schwartz said teacher licensure and seniority determines the choices. Duty hours will be reduced among four teachers, prep time taken from two, as well as classroom hours reduced for three other teachers. K-12 physical education will be restructured, as will elementary music and grades 9 through 12 English. 3.5 paraprofessional positions will be cut. However, they have not been identified at this time. One janitorial position has been reduced. Coaching duties will be reduced somewhat, and the golf program will be cut. Students can expect to pay more in activity fees, and the late bus has also been cut. The office staffs will be reduced by one full position, with reductions in two others. Superintendent benefits will also be reduced. ISD 166 has made over $900,000 in budget cuts in recent years. These include cuts in administration, building maintenance, transportation, and extracurriculars, to name a few. The budget anticipates reductions in state aid, which will likely not be known until mid-May. According to Superintendent Schwartz, 17% of state aid due in the school this year is still vulnerable and not protected by statute. In the midst of these budget cuts, the school board voted to proceed with an operating referendum this fall. An operating referendum would raise revenues to maintain the current program level, not add new programs, construction, or equipment.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has released an analysis of the draft environmental impact statement for the PolyMet copper-nickel mine proposed for Minnesota's Eastern Iron Range. The agency says the mining operation would result in unacceptable and long-term water quality impacts and should not proceed as proposed. The EPA cites more than two dozen inadequacies in the draft environmental impact statement and has given the document the lowest EPA rating possible, environmentally unsatisfactory and inadequate. For more information, visit WTIP.org.
On Tuesday, Cook County Commissioners agreed to advance the joint Cook County Grand Marais Economic Development Authority, or EDA, a portion of the first half of the property tax levy. The EDA made the request in order to continue paying bills and staff. Commissioners agreed to advance the EDA half of the levy it would normally receive at the end of May or early June, a little more than $70,000. Commissioner Bob Fenwick, who serves on a committee overseeing the revitalization of the EDA, said this was a short-term solution to an immediate problem. The committee is trying to address long-term solutions to the EDA's budget squeeze. The board agreed the EDA has already done as much as possible to cut expenses, including the director's hours. Lack of Cedar Grove Business Park lot sales and legal expenses brought on by the pending negotiation with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency over stormwater runoff citations at the business park are the largest causes of the EDA's budget woes. Commissioners also agreed to loan Superior National Golf Course $125,000. In the past, Superior National was able to secure a line of credit loan from local lending institutions to cover seasonal cash flow deficits, but the practice was discouraged by the state auditor. The golf course needs funds in the early spring to get operations ready for the golf season.
It's not an April Fool's prank. April 1 is the day Cook County begins collecting an additional 1% tax on retail sales within the county. At Tuesday's county board meeting, Auditor-Treasurer Brady Powers reviewed some of the details as outlined by the state's Department of Revenue. All items currently taxable under the state sales tax rules are also taxable in Cook County, with one exception. The county's 1% sales and use tax does not apply to motor vehicle sales. One point was clarified by Powers regarding out-of-county vendors collecting the 1% tax on items purchased by county buyers. Commissioners were concerned that taxes on purchases made out of Cook County but shipped into the county would be missed. Powers said the Department of Revenue's website is listing the new Cook County tax, alerting vendors of the change. Basically, said Powers, all retailers registered to collect Minnesota sales tax that do business in the county must collect the extra 1% tax. If businesses fail to do so, there are penalties.
Residents along Lake Superior's North Shore will once again see aircraft overhead as the state continues to battle against the tree-munching gypsy moth. Last year, 71,500 acres were treated, and this year the Department of Agriculture expects the treatment to be closer to 100,000 acres. Gypsy Moth Treatment Unit officials say almost all of the moths trapped in last year's effort were in the Arrowhead. Some of the largest trapping concentrations were in Lake County, especially near Finland. Gypsy moths, originally invading from Europe, have moved west across the U.S. for over 100 years. One treatment method is to spray a pheromone that confuses male moths so they are unable to find and mate with females. Another uses BTK, which is a naturally occurring insecticide that attacks the moth in its larval stage.
According to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, it's time to think about removing ice fishing shelters from inland lakes. Dark houses and fish houses, as well as portables, must be off inland lake ice by midnight March 1st in the southern two-thirds of the state and by March 15th in the northern third. Shelters on Minnesota-Wisconsin border lakes need to be off by March 1st and March 31st on Minnesota-Canada border lakes. If ice fishing shelters are not removed, anglers will be prosecuted. Conservation officers may remove shelters and confiscate or destroy them. All garbage and blocking materials used on the ice must also be removed.
Local telephone service was disrupted on Tuesday morning for about an hour around 8:30. Long-distance calls as well as local calls to Hovland, Grand Portage, and the Gunflint Trail made from landline telephones did not work. Some people also reported difficulties calling out of the county from cell phones. Emergency Management Director Jim Wienanen said the issue was caused by a faulty card in Quest's central office. Quest reportedly replaced the faulty card, and lines have been working. For WTIP News, I'm Jay Anderson.
I'm Kara Thomas.
And I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.